All right, he's the president of the Vancouver Canadiens. Andy Dunn joined me now. And Andy, before we get into any of that, first of all, I hope you are safe and you are healthy wherever I find you this morning.
We are, Scotty, and it's great to be on, and it's great to be on with all the Seas fans in Vancouver, and certainly hope everybody's doing the right thing, staying safe with them in this city, and, you know, let's all do the right thing and get through this as quick as we can.
Are you in Vancouver? Are you stateside right now? Where do I find you?
I am stateside, and actually I'm at home in Florida. I should be in California today because it's opening day for our team in Lancaster, which unfortunately is, like everything else in the world, shut down right now. So, you know, it's funny. Someone told me a couple weeks ago and said, I think it's probably been 25 years since you've had a March off. And you really think about it. And I was like, well, you know what? I'd rather be working in March, to be quite honest with you. But I'm in Florida. I'm safe. All of our staff in Vancouver is accounted for and safe and healthy, and certainly hope everyone is at the studio as well.
Yeah, we are doing our best, most of us working from home, but the likes of Greg Ballack, who's in there today making sure we get on the air, have been great to be going in, and we really appreciate them getting us on the air. Andy Dunn, the president of the Vancouver Canadiens, joining us here this morning. You mentioned it's been a long time since you weren't working, but you've been around this game a long time. You've seen a lot of stuff. I know we've never seen this, Andy. Prior to this pandemic and navigating our way through it in the world of sports, what's the most difficult set of circumstances you've ever had to navigate through during your time in baseball?
The first thing that pops into my head was 9/11. I was with the Florida Marlins, and I remember I was driving to, at the time, Pro Player Stadium, and found out what had gone on. And our team was actually, we were flying to Atlanta to start a homestand, a road trip up in Atlanta. The team, the charter, got caught on the runway, wasn't even allowed to take off. We ended up unloading the whole plane, and we went into our lockdown because of the 9/11 tragedy. But that's about the only thing that I think comes up to any mind. I mean, I've had situations in the past where we've had entire clubhouses come down with mumps, measles, chicken pox, things like that. But to me, nothing, there's really nothing that has shut things down for this extended period of time that I can ever recall, other than a player strike. But a player strike is not something that affects everybody's, you know, way of life, their daily schedule, the way people provide for their families. This is something that I hope we never have to go through again.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, and I suppose the common thread between what you described with 9/11 and this, while they are entirely different set of circumstances, there was fear involved, and the general public has a fear and anxiety about it right now, and I think that was prevalent for 9/11 as well. When you look back on that time and trying to navigate through it, who were you taking your cues from? Who were the Florida Marlins taking their cues from at that time?
You know, I'll say something about when we went through the 9/11 situation is, a lot of people won't think about this, but I thought Bud Selig did his finest work as the commissioner of Major League Baseball during that time frame. He was directing everything. Obviously, he was working closely with, at the time, Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor of New York. But I still have in my possession letters that Bud Selig would send all the employees of all the franchises, just sharing his thoughts, sending his well wishes, sending positive notes of how we're going to get through all this. And I thought he'd done a tremendous job during that situation. But in the baseball world, the person who was driving the bus 100% was Bud Selig.
And obviously, you were very approving of what he did as a leader at that time. One of the things I think we're finding out right now, and you probably saw then, Andy, is that people want to do the right thing. They sometimes just don't know exactly what that is. They're overwhelmed by their personal situation, their business situation, and all of a sudden they don't know which direction to go. But if you provide the correct direction, the good in people comes out. Who's the best leader you've ever been around in that regard?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's been so many, but I 100% agree with you, Scotty, that, you know, given the opportunity, people will do the right thing. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it's always the person who doesn't want to do the right thing gets the most attention or changes scenarios where we have to adjust things. great leaders. I always thought Dave Dombrowski was a tremendous leader with us, with the Marlins. Our senior vice president of player development is a gentleman by the name of John Bowles. John Bowles has always been a great leader in the baseball industry. But honestly, there's so many wonderful people who've done great things. But I think those two were the ones who stood out to me the most. And I'll kind of go from there. But it's a strange time. And unlike 9/11 and compared to what we're going through now, it's just the thing that, to me, that's so sad is what's going on in the economy, what's going on with jobs. People are wanting to work. People are willing to work. And we just can't work because we don't know what's going on, nor do we know an end date. And a lot of times, if you have an end date, you can deal with anything. But right now, until we have an end date, I think that's really what's causing a lot of stress and anxiety because, you know, people would be a little more reluctant to pick up that four cans of soup or the roll of toilet paper if they knew when the end date was. Until we have an end date, I think we just all need to hunker down, work together, work as one team, and we'll get through this.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I want to touch on that last point in just a second. In conversation with Andy Dunn, president of the Vancouver Canadiens this morning here on Sportsnet 650, just back to the leadership for a second. I know that's been a hallmark of your organization since you've been in Vancouver as well. What was it about those leaders in particular, Andy, that you either took something from or is the common thread that made them great leaders?
I think the first thing is they put themselves – they would make sacrifices upon themselves for the greater good of the organization. And I think that's what any leader does in any walk of life, whether you're in, you know, the film business or you're in the restaurant business. If you're running a company, the first thing you do is you have to lead by example, and you always lead more than you ask your people to do. I mean, I know a lot of people in a lot of situations, people are going to have to take pay cuts or things like that. But, you know, as a leader, I think a leader always steps up and says, you know what, I will take the most. I'll wear the most of the burden, because what you want to do is you want to take care of your people because they're the people who make you successful. But take care of your people, lead by example. But I think one thing that I think people always do is have a sense of calm, have a sense of confidence, because people are going to feed off your emotion. So if you're running around nervous, frantic, you can't do that. You just have to sit there, find out what happens, and then go from there. I have a saying that I've operated my whole life on, and since I've become somewhat of professional situations, is, and I use it in every organization I work with, and it's simple. We act, we don't react. And I think if you apply that to even our situation now, we'll act based on the information we know, the credible information we know, but the one thing we can't do in this situation is be reactionary.
Well, and I think that is what has made the Vancouver Canadiens so successful here in the Lower Mainland, that ownership has operated that way. You've operated that way as well. You guys have always put the needs of the fans first and foremost. When did you first get a sense that that's what ownership was about here in Vancouver?
Well, it's funny. The first time I met Jake and Jeff, I just left the ball club in Washington, D.C. And a friend of mine named Mike Vex says, listen, you need to go meet these guys. They're your kind of guys. And when I came up here and I went and met with Jake, and then I spent the next day and a half with Jeff, my takeaway leaving was these guys, they get it. And, you know, in sports and in any walk of life, when you tell somebody to somebody else, or somebody, hey, I just met Scott Rintoul. You know what, good guy, he gets it. That's as great a compliment as you can give somebody. And my takeaway when I first came to Vancouver was, these two guys get it, but they're trying to do something the right way for the right reasons. And that's the only reason those two guys bought the ball club, because the ball club was going to be in the States within a year, because someone else would have bought it and relocated it. Jake and Jeff stepped up, purchased the franchise, which was, at the time, a struggling franchise, not only operationally, but financially. And, you know, my takeaway was these guys want to do something right in the community. They want to do it the right way. And, you know what, I want to come up and be a part of it.
I think what you hit on there at the end is the hallmark of the organization as well. And we laud it for the fan experience and what a great business it is and how much fun we have going out to that. All of those things are absolutely true. But what you said about their policy and their feelings about the community, that has always, always been at the forefront. And that is an attitude that we need as a community right now, that we need as countries right now, isn't it, Andy? That we got to put the needs of the community before anything personal.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's how you bridge these situations, and you bridge these situations successfully. I mean, everybody's got to grab the rope. Everybody's got to pull on the rope the same way. Everybody's going to make sacrifices, and the sacrifice might be as little as just stay at home. Don't go for a walk. Don't go for a jog. Just stay home. Stay home. Take your own sacrifice. And there's a million ways people can sacrifice for the greater good. But right now, everybody's pulling on the rope together. And if we're not, this thing's going to be sticking around for a lot longer than we want. And then you're really going to have some even harder economic times, as well as what's going on with the sports franchises and everybody's favorite stuff to get out and watch an event. This is going to
Andy
get
Dunn,
getting
president
back further and further and further.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Andy Dunn, president of the Canadians, with me this morning on Sportsnet 650. And that is the other great unknown in all of this. Even when we can get to a point where some of these leagues are back up and going, where are people's attitudes at, and how do we as a society make them feel safe to get together in, first of all, small groups and then larger groups? Instilling that confidence is the real challenge on the backside of this.
It really is. I remember, I think it was March the 12th, I was on a call with the CDC in L.A. County regarding what's going on in L.A. Obviously, it would have impacted our ball club in Lancaster, California, which is in L.A. County. And it was the first time I'd heard the word social distancing. So, I mean, I've been sitting there like everybody else with at the end of the day, Scotty, we're a small business in Vancouver. That's what we are with the Canadians. So, you know, we have budgets and we have business forecasts and everything else. And when I sit down and keep revising the numbers based on whether or not we'll get a full season in, a half season in, or, you mean, I don't want to say it, but potentially you have to plan as if you may not get any season in just based on what we don't know. And when you start looking at all that stuff, it's a scary scenario. But when you factor in, even if we play half a schedule, which, you know, we're very fortunate the past umpteen years, the ballpark's always full. I don't even think we'd be allowed to do that anymore, because there is going to be, I think when they start off, there's going to be a social distancing in any venue, whether it's a concert venue, whether it's restaurants are going to have less capacity. They're going to make people, you know, limit the amount of tables they have. I think we're going to have to get into the social distancing for a while, and eventually I think they'll be able to ease up. But I don't think anybody's going to be able to open the gates, go sell out crowd for quite some time.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that is one of the challenges we encounter. With every challenge presents an opportunity. Certainly we found that out in a lot of businesses, mine included, with people working, and in this case broadcasting from home. I am one of those who is a glass half full, look at the positives type of guy. So I believe this entire situation, we're going to find positives. And some of that's going to be family, Andy, and some of that's going to be realizing how important connection is. But this is when the best in whatever business get creative and find something and come up with something that ends up being an innovation that we use years down the road. And it only arises because of an innovation like this, correct?
I agree with that 100%. I will always bet on the innovation and the good spirit in people around the world to not only do the right thing when they can, but give people an opportunity to use their creative skills, their brains, their intelligence to come up and help make this world even a better place. And I think that's something we do every day. And I think because of this pandemic we're experiencing, it's going to open up more opportunities for people to step up, be leaders, show what different communities, different cultures, different countries can do and bring to the table. And I think it's something at the end of the day, we'll look back in 20 years, go, do you remember when we had that opportunity? Well, we'll never have that now because someone has done this, this, this. But I think the one thing is right now, until we find out end dates on this, best thing we can do together is just work together, take care of one another, do something nice for somebody every day if you get a chance. You know, the one thing you can do right now, if you do have extra time on your hands, get on the phone, reconnect with someone you haven't spoken to in a while who was important to you, and try to keep a positive attitude.
Totally agree with all of that, Andy. What has consumed your time that normally wouldn't? Are you a Netflix guy? Have you gone down a few YouTube rabbit holes watching old ball players or somebody from another sport? What has it been?
honest to goodness, I've been on the computer and call so much, but I'm a Netflix junkie to begin with. But, you know, I get into my shows and I end up, and I'm one of the, I guess, the weird people on there because I'll watch the same thing over and over and over. But one of my kids sat me down and made me watch that movie about the prison and the elevator and with the food. And I forget what it was called.
I haven't seen this yet.
Just about freaked me out. But other than that, you know, the greatest thing right now is going on is I get to spend some time with my kids that traditionally I wouldn't be around this time of the year. So, you know, that's the shining light of what's going on right now. But we are certainly looking forward to getting everything squared away, get this thing out of here, and getting sports, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Let's get something going and get a little semblance of life back. And because I promise you, all the people in the world of sports, we want to play our sport. We want to bring it to the fans. We will be able to make some adjustments if we can because we want to play. And it's not so much we want to play for the revenues. We want to play because we want to be that social.
Last thing before I let you go, one of the great parts of going to the ballpark, especially yours, is that there are all these different tastes and smells and different foods you guys introduce every single season that people love to consume. And I said this earlier today because Brian Burke went on the station this morning and said he can't stand sushi, wants nothing to do with it, which is not a popular take in the lower mainland. I've got a couple of things on my no-fly zone that I just don't like that most people do, Andy. I don't drink coffee because I just can't stand the taste. I don't like salt and vinegar chips, which a lot of people rank number one for them. Is there anything for you that you see as a very popular food, but it's just not for Andy Dunn? You want nothing to do with it?
I, you know, for me, Scotty, I don't think it's a food. I'd say it's a category, and I would just say the word vegetables. you know, the vegetables that I do like, people say I eat the weird vegetables because I – but, again, I'm Southern, so we like fried okra, and we like lima beans, and we like black-eyed peas. But I can tell you this. I've never had a tomato in my life, never had corn. I just don't – I didn't have a salad till I was 25. You know, I'm just kind of a meat and potatoes guy, and – if there's butter in it, I'll tackle it. But I grew up around ballparks and sports, so I'm a hot dog burger connoisseur, and we'll go from there. And to me, I think chili's a condiment.
I like it. A lot of people would be on board with that, and I can tell you this, my producer who already said he wants nothing to do with tomatoes is applauding as he listens to this program, and you say that right now. Hey, Andy, stay safe, stay healthy. Looking forward to seeing you in person when we're able to do that again. Thank you very much for making our show better today.
Thanks, Scotty. I appreciate it, and I give my best to all of our friends in Vancouver. We miss you. We look forward to seeing you. Do the right thing now. Keep yourself safe, and we'll look forward to having everybody out of the ballpark as soon as we can.
Great stuff. Thank you, Andy. That is Andy Dunn, the president of the Vancouver Canadiens.